Here's Andy Udman.
Girls who quit high school are much more likely to end up as pregnant teenagers than girls who don't. So statistically, quitting school raises your risk of becoming pregnant. Does anybody think quitting school makes you pregnant? Anybody had a pregnant teenager come home and said, oh my God, she must have quit school?
It's not a funny matter, but here's a comedian saying, most of the information our doctors are working with is based on this bad science.
That's right, and they get fooled into believing that this is real science. It's not even pseudoscience. It's just dangerous science. They lie, they manipulate the science, and then we get it in the media as being truthful. And it's not truthful whatsoever. It's just done for it.
As they love to say, the marketing people, he will make you laugh, he will make you cry. And I promise that's going to happen in the next hour. Pam Colleen, you have had so many guests on. No one communicates like this guy.
No, this is a very funny individual that we have
He's
on the
hilarious.
Show today.
He's hilarious. What's a comedian doing talking about health? I mean, this is a health segment. Mm-hmm. Are we breaking all the rules today, having a comedian on? No, I watched some of his videos this morning. The points he makes about your point about bad science,
mm-hmm.
the science that's contaminated. We had a major story break just in the last 3 days. Health Canada, who are, you know, your close personal friends, are going to investigate whether wind turbines affect our health. You know, that's a little bit like, you know, calling in the weasel to guard the hen house.
That's right.
Bad science.
It's bad science. A lot of bad science out there. Marketing-based science is what I like to call it. It's
in
not
other
real.
In other words, Health Canada is saying, okay, who's cutting the check for this?
Mm-hmm.
What results would you like? Okay, scientists, go to work, get the results that we would like. Here are the six things we would like you to prove. Bad science.
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time. You keep warning us about it. And I love the analogy that our comic. And let me just play you that, Rick, if you could play that clip again about the pregnant girls, which to me makes the point.
Girls who quit high school are much more likely to end up as pregnant teenagers than girls who don't. So statistically, quitting school raises your risk of becoming pregnant. Does anybody think quitting school makes you pregnant? Anybody had a pregnant teenager come home and said, oh my God, she must have quit school?
The point is that he's making is the logic that our scientific community is making, is working on,
mm-hmm.
is totally contaminated. So they use simple logic to get the results that have mm-hmm. been decided.
The mantra is correlation does not equal causation. So whenever you're hearing a lot of this jargon, the scientific jargon in the news, for example, they lose sight of this. It's very flawed science.
I understand mm-hmm. that your favorite five words are a new study now shows.
It's according to a new study. Whenever you hear that in the media, run and hide.
According to a new study. Okay, would you introduce Tom Naughton? Because I want to ask him, what in the world is a comedian doing talking about bad science?
Yes, it's an honor this morning to have comedian Tom Naughton on the show. He's the producer of the film Fathead. And Tom, good morning. It's been a while since I've been trying to get you on the show, so I'm thrilled that you're here this morning.
I'm thrilled to be here. How are you?
Tom,
I'm great.
Tom, where are you talking to us from? Where's home?
Just south of Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee. You a big Johnny? Yeah. You a big Johnny Cash fan?
I actually was as a kid. My parents listened to him all the time, and on the rare occasions where I am talked into getting up and doing karaoke, I usually do Johnny Cash because we kind of have a similar baritone range.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, we got to talk about Tom Naughton first before we get into the bad science. I'm trying to bring these two ends of the spectrum together. Comedian and very serious health issues, like suggesting that most of the science that our doctors base their decisions on are totally flawed. Tom Naughton, how do you bring those two together?
Well, haven't you noticed that pretty much all the comedians you you see on TV are really interested in science and health? I thought everybody knew that.
No, I hadn't noticed that. Tom, what's your own story? You describe on your website stand-up comic by night, sit-down writer by day or something to that effect?
Yeah, I'm also a sit-down computer programmer by day. That's kind of the straight job. Here's how a comedian gets interested in health. I wanted to do a humorous reply to Supersize Me because there was a lot about that movie that annoyed me. I decided to go on my own fast food diet for a month and lose weight. I knew it could be done. Not that I'm advocating fast food, but you know, it is a matter of, do you choose to go carbohydrates or fat? Everybody thinks it's the fat that makes you fat. I knew that's not true. So I said, okay, I'm going to go on my own diet and I'm going to lose weight, but I want to be able to talk intelligently about health issues, diet issues, nutrition issues while I'm making this film. So I went out on the internet and started doing quite a bit of research, and I was stunned at how much of what we've been told over the past 30 years about diet and health is simply not true. So I tried as best I could to keep the film light and funny, but also expose how much of what we've been told is simply not true. And of course, in the course of doing that, I kind of had to retrain myself to think like a scientist.
Tom, simple question: What's not true that we absolutely and totally are convinced is true about health and what we eat?
Well, there's a fairly long list there, but I would say the one that matters most is it is absolutely not true that saturated fat and cholesterol cause heart disease. And the reason I bring that one up first is a lot of other bad beliefs kind of have that belief as their root.
And you also pick on Dr. Oz quite a bit in your talks, and I love the analogy that you take where you say, you know, that he believes that saturated fat clogs the arteries. And, of course, given our body temperatures, can you talk about your little experiment that you do in one of your talks?
Well, yeah, he had this ridiculous statement I saw once that saturated fat is solid at room temperature, so it's solid in your arteries. Now, my room temperature in my house is usually around 70 degrees. If my arteries are ever 70 degrees, go ahead and bury me. I'm dead. You know, our arteries are at 97, 98, whatever our body temperature is. It is just simply not true. And first off, you don't eat saturated fat. It doesn't go straight to your arteries. You digest the stuff. So I did my own little experiment where I took apples and bananas and foods that are solid at room temperature. I took them outside where it was 98 degrees, and guess what? They were still solid. So I concluded, based on the Oz logic, those must clog your arteries.
But Tom, I saw Dr. Oz sit down on the set with Diane Sawyer on the ABC Evening News last Thursday, and she was practically melting into a little puddle, adoring this man who stars on MD, this program which ABC is so much promoting. I mean, next to the Pope, I mean, he's almost next to God. Are you going after Dr. Oz?
Well, I think Dr. Oz's main qualification to tell people about diet and nutrition is that he's, you know, he's good-looking and intelligent.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, what's the biggest myth that Dr. Oz preaches? That simply isn't true.
Dr. Oz is still convinced that whole grains are good for us and that fats are bad for us. Now, what's interesting about him is, depending on which article you read or when you see him speaking, he doesn't seem to be particularly consistent with either of those beliefs. But I don't know if it's a matter of who's sponsoring the show when he's on the air. But, you know, he's still out there preaching, eat your whole grains and avoid those saturated fats. And that is simply not true. If you go back through history and you look at which populations got heart disease, which populations got cancer, it wasn't the meat eaters, it was the grain eaters.
That's right. Wow. And that's called the paradox. When you look at the French diet, the Swiss diet, when you look at the Maasai, they're eating a lot of animal fat, have high cholesterol diets, and that you don't see the heart disease.
Well, we have so many, you know, I heard about this, the French paradox, even before I got interested in this. Then you find out there's a Spanish paradox, there's a Swiss paradox, Maasai paradox, there's a Aboriginal paradox, because they have very low cholesterol but high rates of heart disease, the Russian paradox, low cholesterol, high rates of heart disease. When you have more paradoxes than you have populations who actually fit the paradigm, I'm going to jump in there and guess that the paradigm's wrong.
Tom, one thing I have to say about Pam Killeen, she's a nice person, but she has absolutely spoiled a part of my life, and that is, like last Saturday when I had a breakfast with family at a sister in town, and we had it at Angelo's, and we were sitting there, and there's all this lovely, fresh, whole grain bread.
Did you eat bread? Did you eat a bagel?
And we had a little toast, and I'm sitting there chewing on this toast, thinking of Pam Killeen instead of my family. What's wrong with whole grain?
Well, my guess is that grains were never a particularly good food, but as Dr. William Davis has pointed out in a brilliant book called Wheat Belly, even if wheat was never particularly bad before, it probably wasn't good, but now it really truly is bad. The wheat we consume today has gone through a lot of selective breeding. It is no longer chest-high amber waves of grains. It's a mutant little plant that grows up to about our knees. The protein structure in it was changed. Now, all this was done for good reasons, noble reasons, which was to grow more wheat so we would stave off worldwide starvation. But unfortunately, nobody ever asked while they were developing this wheat, hey, is this little mutant plant we're creating actually fit for human consumption?
Tom, I love what you just said, because my wife and I were driving on the weekend and we were going by all these fields, and I said to her, wheat isn't what it used to be. We used to have this wheat which was like 5 feet high and it would blow in the wind, and I just right. love the golden wheat blowing in the wind. The stuff they're growing now is half the height. It looks more like
a little plant.
It looks more like barley. It has all these little whiskers on it.
Right.
I guess, you know, it's making the farmers money, but the bottom line is, what is it doing to our health, this genetically modified product?
It is, I'll tell you what it's doing to our health. It's raising our blood sugar much higher than your great-grandma's wheat did. It has a higher concentration of gliadin protein, which ramps up your appetite. The amino acid profile of the gluten has been altered, and there's also more gluten than there used to be. So here's what it's doing. It's raising our blood sugar, it's ramping up our appetites, and it's giving people a lot of gluten issues. Other than that, it's fabulous.
That wouldn't have anything to do, would it, Tom, with the fact that we are now seeing gluten-free stores popping up everywhere in London, and it was interesting, even at Angelo's, they had a whole shelf of gluten-free product. I mean, gluten-free, you can't go two city blocks without seeing the product, which is symptomatic of the very problem that you're talking about.
Well, yeah, the rate of gluten issues has, I believe, gone up about 400% since this mutant wheat came out. We have a lot more people diagnosed with celiac, and for a while people thought, well, we're just better at diagnosing it, and then a very convincing study showed that, no, that's not true. It really has gone up. So I guess more and more people are getting reactions and being aware of their reactions and seeking the gluten-free products. But, you know, my concern isn't the people who go, oh, I've got a gluten sensitivity and go buy gluten-free. My concern is the people who don't know they have a gluten issue, and they go to their doctor who doesn't figure out that it's a gluten issue, and they get treated for symptoms instead of someone identifying the cause.
Now, Tom, you're a comedian. You've connected the dots in this matter. You've got a wonderful YouTube video out there called Science for Smart People, but you have a lot of enemies out there in the scientific community. They write you angry emails.
Yeah, I get those now and then. Usually it's some scientist whose work I critiqued. And, well, you know, they don't like being told or having someone tell the public that their work is weak, especially not a comedian. You know, it's not just that I disagree. If you disagree with someone, that'll make them angry. If you make fun of them, that makes them really, really angry.
Tom, hold that thought. We have to take a short break. When we come back, you wanted to grow taller, so you started playing basketball. I want to ask you about that logic.
Sure.
Tom wanted to grow taller, so he started playing basketball. He's saying that's the logic our doctors are using. We'll be back with that in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Well, when I was in high school, the guys on the basketball team were pretty tall. In college, they were taller. In the NBA, they're really tall. The obvious conclusion, playing basketball makes you taller. And the longer you play, the taller you will be. I decided to test that one for myself. I started out at 5'11". Then I started playing basketball 3 hours a day. A year later, I was 6'4".
Stand-up comic by night, sit-down writer by day. Tom Naughton is brilliant. What you just heard is an author mocking the logic that doctors are using. Now, Tom, just make that point. Is that the kind of logic our scientists, our researchers, and our doctors are using when it comes to making decisions about what pills they're going to prescribe for us?
Yeah, in many cases, yes. They confuse association with a cause. Now, what I was actually referring to in that clip you played, I had an online debate with someone who claimed to be a PhD. I would like to say he couldn't possibly have been, but unfortunately, yes, a lot of PhDs can actually be that illogical. His point was, well, of course, running makes people thin because if you go watch a marathon or a race, the people are all thin. Well, that's when I made the point about, well, basketball players are tall. but that doesn't mean playing basketball makes you tall. It means tall people are more likely to succeed at basketball. Fat people don't become competitive runners. And same thing, you can look at all kinds of... Now, drug studies do tend to be controlled, so we hope we're not talking about the same thing here. But when you see this, well, we see an association between this or that food and bad health. That doesn't mean we're looking at a cause. Mm-hmm. It means we're looking at a correlation, and correlations are not proof.
So
they
what,
very often turn out to be wrong.
So what is the end result of using that kind of logic in the world?
The end result is we give people an awful lot of bad advice.
Now, there's a scientist that you like to pick on, and it's Dr. Ansel Keys, Dr. Ansel Keys from the University of Minnesota, and he really is the person who propelled us into eating this low-fat diet.
Yeah, and you know, the unfortunate thing with Dr. Keys is not only did he confuse correlation for causation, but he kind of threw out data that he didn't like to make his correlation appear even stronger than it was. And he didn't look at other correlations. Keys is the guy who looked at the fat consumption in various countries and then looked at the rate of heart disease and said, aha, look, the more fat in the diet, the higher rate of heart disease. Now, he didn't bother to look at, in the same countries where fat intake was higher, so was sugar intake.
Right.
So was television ownership. All he had really proved is that in prosperous countries, there's a higher rate of heart disease.
So you said the bad advice... the bad logic leads to the bad advice. Give me an example of the bad advice based on the bad logic.
Sure. Here's bad advice. Oh, don't eat red meat. That's associated with cancer. Well, first off, it's actually not. They have cherry-picked the studies where it is associated. So what do people do? Oh, well, that meat's going to give me cancer. Well, I better stop eating meat. What am I going to fill my plate with instead? Well, I'll fill it with grains. And considering that cancer cells can only live on fructose or glucose, getting rid of protein and fat and adding still more carbohydrate to your diet, if anything, you're feeding cancer.
A friend of mine says, Andy, I always follow the money. What is the key driving factor that is producing the bad logic and the bad advice?
I think it's the fact that the U.S. government is heavily, heavily invested in the grain industry. We subsidize the grain industry. The U.S. wants to export grain as much as possible. And basically, I think our dietary advice stems from the desire to support the grain industry more than any other factor.
Well, I think it goes even further than that. Plant-based foods in general are easier to produce, easier to ship, have better shelf life. They're more profitable than animal foods. So we see this heavy demonization of animal foods in general.
Tom, I won't ask you personal questions, but I will ask you, what'd you have for breakfast?
I haven't had breakfast yet. Since I have changed my diet, I often find I'm not hungry until I've been awake for several hours.
What are you going?
Typically, I would have eggs, maybe some bacon, maybe some sausage.
See, that's why I love Pam Colleen, because almost every guest she has on says, eggs and bacon for breakfast will make you healthier and not raise your cholesterol.
Well, my health has gotten better. I've gotten leaner since I started eating this way. We actually, part of the reason we moved to Tennessee, we now own a little six-acre mini farm, and the eggs that I'm eating in the morning now come from our own chickens.
Now, you also have a very popular blog, Tom, and a lot of interaction with your viewers on your website. What kind of results are you seeing with your bloggers?
You know, it's really... It really does my heart good. I get emails from people who have discovered the blog or first discovered Fathead on Netflix and then gone to the blog. And occasionally I'll hear from people who send me their story, or they send me before and after pictures, like 6 months after they changed their diet based on my blog and on the recommendations I made in the film. And I didn't really think about that when I made it, but... Boy, I get those letters, and it just does my heart good. I'll see someone's lost 50, 60 pounds, their blood work has improved, and they're saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. You were the first person who ever made me aware of this. And that makes me feel grateful and kind of humble all at the same time.
Tom, I always hope that when people hear a program like this every Thursday morning at 11 o'clock with Pam Colleen and some very, very special guests, that they are entertained, first of all, that they are informed, secondly, but thirdly, that they have a takeaway that changes their life and improves their health. We have to take a short break for a news update, but give us a 10 second takeaway for those who might have to leave this program in the next few minutes that will make them healthier?
It's not meat and fat that are bad for you. It's refined carbohydrates. Love your meat. Give up the breads and sugars.
10:30 News update in just a moment. We'll be back with comic writer Tom Naughton in just a moment, right here with Pam Colleen on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Girls who quit high school are much more likely to end up as pregnant teenagers than girls who don't. So statistically, quitting school raises your risk of becoming pregnant. Does anybody think quitting school makes you pregnant? Anybody had a pregnant teenager come home and said, oh my God, she must have quit school?
Quitting school makes you pregnant and playing basketball makes you taller. Comic Tom Naughton has a way of making you think, and that's why we're delighted to have him on the program today. Tom, if we could start off in this half hour, picking up one loose end from the last half hour. We talked about the whole grain myth.
Right.
We didn't get to low fat. To some people, low fat is what life is about. You would say?
I would say what a load of nonsense. If you go back and look at traditional cultures throughout history, they not only weren't low fat, they prized fat. They thought fat was the most important part of the diet. You had traditional native cultures where their diet was well over 50% fat, in some cases as much as 80% fat. Try to find the cancer or the heart disease in those populations, good luck, because you won't find it.
Tom, this is all very entertaining and intellectually stimulating, but the absolute devastating aspect of what you're saying is we're living in a culture that's dying. We're living in a culture that is about to be overwhelmed totally here in Ontario and in Canada and in the United States by health problems. We have so many health epidemics, and the cost of dealing with these health epidemics is already overwhelming us. If we don't fix something, Tom, the ship is going down.
Well, absolutely, and that's, as I'm sure you know, we have an ongoing debate in the U.S. about should health be publicly financed, should it be private insurance. You know, my attitude is I don't care if it's public, private, whatever. Once the bill goes really, really high, nobody can afford to pay it. It doesn't matter if we pay directly or pay through taxes. We are going to bankrupt ourselves with health costs. It is no coincidence in my mind that ever since this low-fat diet came out, since the hysteria over saturated fat and cholesterol came out, hit big in the 70s and 80s, you look what's happened since then, people have gotten fatter, and more significantly than that, rates of diabetes have gone through the roof. And it's going to bankrupt us, you, pretty much every other civilized country in the world if we don't just admit we were wrong and change our diets.
Yeah, so if we could just give people the correct information, they will know what to do, and we could potentially save this healthcare crisis.
Well, absolutely, because, you know, you can talk about diabetes, and that's bad enough in itself, but look at all the other conditions that result from diabetes. You know, blindness, limb problems, people can have kidney failure because of it. There's just all kinds of issues that have diabetes as a root. And man, when I see that 10 and 12-year-olds are getting type 2 diabetes, I mean, that's just an outrage. That should not happen.
Okay, what are the five things? Give me five, as they say. Give me five places we need to start, your top five, to change all that, to get North America back on track.
First thing we need to do is for our governments to admit that when they scared people away from saturated fat and cholesterol, that it was based on lousy science, and that it was wrong. The next thing they need to do is stop encouraging people to eat grains and other processed carbohydrates as any kind of health food. They need to stop recommending low-fat or non-fat cereals as some kind of health food. Those are, in fact, some of the worst foods you can eat. They need to stop telling people that processed vegetable oils are good for them. They're not only not good for them, they are really, truly bad for them. Then they need to stop pushing those meals in schools, and they need to stop subsidizing those meals. I may have already said that, but stop subsidizing those to make those the cheaper choice.
And yet, Pam has brought on just a host of very gifted people like yourself who've said the same thing, and yet we're not seeing the changes, Tom. Why not?
Well, there's an awful lot of powerful economic forces lined up against us. However, the change is coming. I mean, I'm actually an optimist about this. There's a wonderful book I read a while back called The Wisdom of Crowds, and it's about how groups of dedicated amateurs often come up with better answers than the supposed experts. And you kind of reach a tipping point when people are able to share their information. And thanks to the Internet, we are sharing that information. Nobody would have heard of me in the pre-Internet days. And I'm seeing more and more, even in traditional media, they'll have some article online, eat your low-fat diet, blah, blah, blah. And you go to the comments section, and people are coming in there and blasting them. So I think we are seeing the change. Not going to happen as quickly as I'd like, but we are seeing it.
But the U.S. Food Guide still says to eat 10% saturated fat, if not even down to 7%. I mean, the Food Guide is still saying the lie.
And it always will be, because, you know, our government's heavily involved in the grain business, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. However, as I've told people before, my goal isn't to get the USDA to change its policies, because I don't think we can, but my goal is to get people to stop listening to the USDA, and I think we're seeing more and more of that. And ultimately, when we convince enough people, it doesn't matter if they promote cereal. It doesn't matter if they subsidize grains. If people stop buying it, we win.
Pam and I were just chatting during one of the breaks about all the items on which Health Canada, for example, is wrong. And we came up with vaccine, prescription drugs, Vioxx, Avandia, fluoride, vegetable oil, margarine, aspartame, GMOs, low-fat diet, high-carb sugar, processed foods, pesticides, pasteurized dairy, wireless cell phone. In fact, we were suggesting that we should lock all the top officials at Health Canada in a room and force-feed them all this stuff while they enjoy their wireless cell phone technology and all that radiation. Tom, what more can we do to get governments to listen? I mean, I see every night your vote, your voice, it's all about Obama and Romney, but I don't see any discussion of any of this.
Well, it's just not on most people's mental radar. Most people just assume that, you know, well, gosh, why would the government mislead us about dietary advice? And when I tell people this, they're often shocked, and you know, they kind of tend to demand proof. There's a phenomenon, you know, selection bias, whereby we need a lot more evidence to convince us that we're wrong than we do to convince us that we're right. So we're just going to have to keep chugging away and providing that evidence. But we are changing people's minds. I am seeing it out there.
But what about,
and again, the change will come when not when government changes its mind, but when we stop listening to their advice.
But what about common sense, Tom? Don't you notice that a lot of people have just been taken away the right from using their own common sense?
Well, unfortunately, yeah. And we've had cases down here in the U.S. where the police have raided stores, for instance, that sell raw milk. Never mind that the producers want to sell it and the people who are buying it want to buy it. Now, to me, common sense says if they want to sell it and I want to buy it, it's nobody else's business. So, yeah, I mean, we are going to see a lot of blowback from the vested interests. But again, ultimately, we're going to win because they can't make us buy their products.
Tom, hold that thought. Garnet wants to jump in with a comment. Go ahead, Garnet.
Hello. One comment. Now, I haven't been listening to the complete program, but no one seems to be taking the fructose corn syrup pop industry to task for all this diabetes and overweight.
Oh, yes, we have.
That's a good Garnet. Yeah.
You listen off the air. Go for it, Tom.
Yeah, they are now. Dr. Robert Lustig in the U.S. is very big on that issue. And in the last year, he's everywhere. He's on 60 Minutes. He's on network news shows. So he's become like a one-man crusade to make people aware of what fructose is doing to people. And we're seeing more and more of him, and I think that message is starting to get out there.
And the corn industry is so powerful, and the sugar industry is so powerful. It's just been quite a crusade for him to get this information out. It's been very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. But he keeps pounding away at it. And, like I said, the grain industry in the U.S., wheat and corn, soybeans, I mean, they're huge. But we are gonna defeat them. We're going to defeat them with information.
Well, it just strikes me that there are so many people out there who have this passion for this issue, Tom, even if there's no financial gain for them at all. But what absolutely amazes me, and that's why I loved your videos this morning about just the philosophy of bad science and not using your basic logic. Coming back to the issue of these news stores that I'm seeing everywhere. We talked earlier about, help me out, Pam, we were talking about this. My neighbor, for example, gluten-free stores. I haven't seen anybody stand up and say, gee, I wonder what's happening. Why are we having all these people who can't eat gluten anymore? Mm-hmm.
It actually stretches to grain in general, Andy. I mean, grains should be soaked, fermented. I mean, they need to be pre-digested before consumption. So grains generally are a problem for most people's digestive tracts. Whereas we're really designed to eat things like meat and eggs and chicken and fish. I mean, our guts are more designed for fat and protein.
But we have a health minister who's so involved in this orange controversy and so many other crisis of the day issues. I'd love to hear her say, you know, we've noticed that there are these gluten-free stores and we notice that people can't eat what they used to eat. Something is going wrong
here. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings in the food industry, Andy. They're going to hurt somebody's feelings and affect somebody's bottom line.
Tom, there are rebels like you and all these crusaders who Pam has had on, but when is someone in government with power going to step forward and saying, we have some basic health issues that we really need to change our thinking about?
Oh, I don't know if that'll ever happen.
It's got to be a grassroots thing.
It's going to have to be a grassroots thing. And, you know, part of the problem in the U.S. is one of our first kind of hurdles for presidential candidates to cross is the Iowa caucuses. Well, hello, it's one of the, you know, most active farm states. So even if a presidential candidate understood this stuff, the odds are he or she would never survive the Iowa caucuses.
Well, we have to take one more short break, Tom, and then we want to come back, put it all in a nice little box with a nice little bow so people can carry away these kernels of truth, which are so absolutely essential if we're going to stop this tsunami of health problems. Just before we go to the break, I just had a snapshot of the average crowd on the average street in America today, and the word girth comes up. There was a bus driver in London told me that the average bus driver in America today weighs 300 pounds. A comment, Tom, about the girth of Americans and how many people are obese.
Yeah, it's not a pretty sight, is it? Remember when Jackie Gleason was considered a fat guy?
Yeah.
When I was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, go find a picture of him and see if your thought is, wow, is that man obese? And he kind of looks almost average compared to today.
Almost better than average. A short break. We'll be back with some closing thoughts from comic. I don't know. I can't call him a comedian. He's very, very funny, but he's also got tremendous insights into our health issues. We'll be back with Tom Naughton in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Well, when I was in high school, the guys on the basketball team were pretty tall. In college, they were taller. In the NBA, they're really tall. The obvious conclusion, playing basketball makes you taller. And the longer you play, the taller you will be. I decided to test that one for myself. I started out at 5'11". Then I started playing basketball 3 hours a day. A year later, I was 6'4".
First you laugh and then you cry when you think that comic Tom Naughton is really mocking the logic of the people who make our major medical decisions. Tom, there's one thing I set out in this hour to do before we let you go, and that is this. What is freaking Pinocchioitis?
That is a freaking liar of a scientist, and unfortunately there are far more of those out there than we would like to believe. In fact, that was kind of one of the, I don't know if you want to say it was a bummer when I started doing the research for Fathead, but I came away with a lot less respect for scientists than I had going in. It was a little disappointing.
Okay, why? Why is the science that scientists are giving us just not to be believed?
Well, you know, we like to think of scientists as these objective, unbiased seekers of the truth. And what you find out when you look into it is it's just not true. Most studies are conducted by someone who has an agenda. Scientists are people who have kids to send through colleges and some mortgages to pay. They want their grants, which is their livelihood, to keep on coming. So they have this strange tendency to produce the results that the people who give out the grants would like to see.
Yeah, and our universities, unfortunately, are buying into that. So the quality of our education is being compromised because the researchers at the university are more focused on getting grant money than actually giving our students a good quality education.
Yeah, and the universities are not by any means immune to this. You know, in Fathead, I brought up the case of Dr. Kilmer McCulley, who was one of the first sort of prominent scientists to say, wait a minute, I don't think this whole cholesterol theory makes sense. That's not the cause of heart disease. And basically, Harvard kind of forced him out because of that.
Folks, we are going to mention, because we're down to about 2 or 3 minutes, the website where you can check out Tom Naughton. You just have to check him out. Naughton, by the way, is spelled N-A-U-G-H. T-O-O-N. Tom, I always want to focus on the takeaway. Earlier in the program, for people who missed it, one of you can just run down. I asked you, okay, give me the top five ways we have to start fixing this major health crisis. Would you run those down? They're so important.
Sure. The first thing we need to do is stop scaring people away from animal fat. Animal fat is not and never was the problem. It is not the cause of heart disease. We need to stop telling people that grains, at least the kind of grains we consume these days, are health food. They are not. They have been altered. They are not your great-grandma's grains. They're not good for you. They lead to gut permeability and all kinds of other health issues. Grains are not health food. We also need to stop telling people that vegetable oils are good for them. Vegetable oils are highly processed. They cause inflammation. They are not good for your body. They are bad for your body. We need to stop subsidizing the foods that are supposedly good for us that aren't, because that makes them cheaper. That makes them more appealing to people who are just buying based on price, not on what they know to be or think is good for them. And we absolutely, positively need to stop pushing these foods on our kids in school. A lot of kids eat one-third or even two-thirds of their meals in school. If they're being fed bad food, they can't possibly be healthy.
And let me tell you, if it weren't for the fat issue, we might have an entirely different person as the representative for the Republican Party. I'm thinking the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie. The one key reason he said it himself why he's not, why he didn't run for the Republican nomination, even though he probably would have won it, is because of his girth.
Yeah, I know, that's a shame. That's kind of how we view people. It's just like you know, and as a bald man, I'm aware of this one. You will not see a bald U.S. president. The one who got away with it was Eisenhower, but he had the aura of being the, you know, the commander of World War II. So we like lean people with hair.
So there's a correlation there, Tom.
Yeah, it may not be a causation, but there is a correlation.
Tom, you've got so many people intrigued up here, how they can find out more, where they can see your videos. What's your website?
www.fathead-movie.com. Fathead is one word. Fathead-movie.com.
Now, your movie, Fathead, is available on Netflix, correct?
Netflix, Hulu, and iTunes, although I think iTunes might just be the U.S. at this point.
Tom, a lot of people got very, very rich selling us products which are basically poison. I watch ABC News every night. It's all I can do to watch their commercials for all the drugs. I mean, I start laughing in the last 30 seconds of every commercial because, you know, of the message that, you know, your eyes could pop out and you could have diarrhea for a month and all the terrible side effects of some of these drugs, and yet those are the ones that are sponsored. Any chance that you could get rich promoting healthy foods and healthy medical solutions for our problems, or is that not going to happen?
No. No, people who eat real food, you know, it doesn't have that high of a profit margin. It's not brand specific. People don't go out and buy Kraft broccoli. They just buy broccoli. So that's part of the problem is, since we aren't talking about brand foods here, no one really stands to become a billionaire by promoting real food, and that's one of the hurdles we face.
Well, there'll be something really nifty on your tombstone, like he was a crusader, and he loved us so much he wanted us to get healthy. So, Tom, so kind of you to join us. You made us laugh and, yes, cry at many of the things you've said, and great takeaways. So we thank you for joining us this morning.
I was delighted to be here.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Wow. He is amazing. And I so enjoyed watching his videos this morning. They're so entertaining.
Oh, people have got to go to YouTube and look up his name and watch the video, Science for Smart People. It's absolutely hysterical.
Pam, anything else?
That's it for today,
okay,
Andy.
Pam, great show, as always. Thank you so much. 11 o'clock news coming up in just a moment.